Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Hello, welcome to RS Season 6, Episode 38.
Itsy Bitsy Teeny Weeny Yellow Polka Dot Houdini. I'm so sorry. I'm sorry to humanity and to my dogs and to Houdini and to Peace Bibs.
I can't breathe.
I'm sorry. Oh. This is what happens when I have nothing and sat there for a solid 10 minutes trying to think of things to rhyme with Houdini. That was the second thing I thought of and thought, no, I can't do that. And then I went around in circles and couldn't think of anything else. And I said, well, here we are.
Oh, light. Light is a thing that just hit my eyeballs.
Sorry.
Oh, wow. Okay.
I'm a monster.
See, you told me that, and I was expecting to go into this just wanting to pack up, leave, and go gamble right now. Instead, I was greeted with the lack of ability to breathe. So, I guess equivalently, it's almost the same thing, but...
The second worst thing about the title is I agonized for at least 3 minutes over changing it to Blue Polka Dot because he's not yellow. but it didn't rhyme as well. Like, I seriously was like, it bothered me. I'm like, he's not even yellow. These are the things that I argue with myself in my head over.
I hope that fits into the title box. I actually kind of applaud you for that one. That is about the worst title you've ever made. And yet it's brilliant at the same time.
Aerosol was here. He would hang up on us, call back, and hang up again.
Accurate. He's mentally hanging up right now.
Hanging up on me once wasn't enough.
In fact, he's probably going to call you physically and then hang up as soon as you answer. Or hang up as soon as your voicemail answers, or whatever. Whatever the equivalent is.
Just general rejection.
Block. He's happen. Just gonna block you.
Oh man.
Okay. That is the thing that we now have to live with. Got it. Alright, now that that has sunk in, that we're living in this world now. Okay, one ups. I am at a hotel, at a casino, as normal, because that's my life. I really do not want to be here right now.
Thanks.
Now, after the title, I really don't want to be here right now. But it might possibly be saving me money, so might be helping. But other than that, not a whole lot's been going on. On Saturday, we went to this thing called Tigers Fest at the baseball stadium here. And that was really fun. We got to check out the clubhouse and the, not really a locker room. It's not
fuck yeah, clubhouse.
Baseball does, but that was really fun. It was really cold, but that's Michigan, so. And I don't have my headset. That's why I got possibly crummy audio. I don't know how good the audio is.
Actually, don't sound too bad.
Oh, cool. I'm just using the headphones that came with my iPhone. So yay. So that happened. iPhone. That was super fun. What else? Not a whole lot. I mean, that was Saturday. Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday was just kind of getting as much video work done as I can because I was leaving. And so now today, tomorrow, and half of Friday is going to be spent away.
So that's been my week. Thursday and Friday of last week, I don't think I did anything really super cool or anything. Purchase wise, not much of anything. Oh, there goes my phone. I'm playing with it. Nothing's really out to look for. I think Dino Charge finally killed itself.
I think the only thing I'm looking for is the Thunder Megazord when it eventually gets here. I don't think it's here yet. And then that little Candroid dude, and that's it.
Oh, yeah. I love that thing.
I'm afraid to find him because something will be spotted.
I still need to get that Thunder Megazord when I find it. I don't know what I'm doing about that thing because it's so expensive and I can't really afford it right now.
It is, but, I want it so bad.
Yeah, I know. I understand all the flaws with it, but they're so minimal that it doesn't stop me from wanting it. So, I don't know what I'm going to do when I see it. I might freak out a little bit. That is definitely a possibility.
There's just going to be a squeal.
I'm going to be like, ah! And then look at it and pick it up and hug it and carry it around and then realize that I can't afford it.
And then a screech.
And then I'm just going to collapse in the middle of Toys R Us. Actually, no, I can pretend that I have another heart attack in the middle of Toys R Us, but I clutch the Thunder Megazord, right?
So it takes you with you to the hospital.
So I don't let go, at all. And so when they pick me up to put me in a stretcher, if they actually manage to lift me, then I get to keep it, right? Is that how that works?
That's exactly how it works.
Well, there we go. New plan. All right.
And if they're questioning you, are Siri really having a heart attack? Google Shukun Shinobi heart attack. It's a thing. You're just wearing a shirt that says hashtag Shukun Shinobi heart attack.
Google will fill it in for you. That many people typed it in.
Don't you know who I am? You see the hat?
I am the Shukun Shinobi bitch. And what? It'll be great. Classic. There we go. Master plan. I got that. That Thunder Megazord is as good as mine.
You know what, you said it publicly, so there's no evidence to come back to get you.
No way at all. If I actually took time to edit the show properly, I'd probably put in random bleeps. Try to keep that plan a secret, but I know I won't. So
remember when we used to bleep Ami?
Oh god.
Oh, we're such dicks. Then we just grew into different kind of dicks. At least I did. I get, progressively more dickish.
Yeah, that's okay. Don't we all? But other than that, I got a really, not really nasty, but a text message from Kevin earlier today that just said, fuck your Pokédex. I don't know how I found out about this toy. It's a toy version of the Pokedex from Omega Ruby Alpha Sapphire, and I'm holding it right now. It's actually really cool.
It looks cool.
The Japanese Pokedexes are fucking kick ass.
I care more about it.
I turned this thing on. It's got on music and everything, and it's a touch screen. So it's got all these little quote unquote apps on it, and apparently it can keep track of what megastones I have, which is really helpful actually. And it doesn't help a whole lot because everything's in fucking Japanese. But it's got data on all the Pokemon up through Hoopa.
It's like when we played our Black and White in Japanese, just naming everything funny and battling people. That was the game. Remember we named you Masked Kevin? That speaks to the times.
You betcha. So, it says the name and what type of Pokemon it is and stuff. So, it's really cool. It's got full menus and it's all color and there's, talking and shit. It's, really cool. I wish it was English, but I don't trust Takara Tomy to ever make that into English here because the last Pokedex we got was a plastic toy that had a little button and a little light spun in the middle of it, and it said some generic phrase, and that was it. That was our Pokedex toy. So after that, I said, I'm not taking any more chances. And like I said, I don't remember how I found out that this exists. I don't remember if I saw it on HLJ or just a random Pokemon website or whatever, but it's Pokemon Zukon, which is Pokedex in Japanese. It's just Pokemon Zukon Z, and again with the Z's. And so I found one. I was like, I wonder if Mandarake has any. And so I went to Mandarake, and they had one for 4,000 yen, which isn't that bad because this costs about 6,000 or so, I think. And so I was like, well, okay, click. And so I got that today, like right as we were going out the door to leave, like the mail lady pulled up, and I got really super fucking happy. Like I was eyeballing,
just, like skipped towards her.
I was looking at the tracking, and it left customs like yesterday, and so I'm like, "Oh yeah, cool! It might actually get here." And then I thought about it, I was like, "Well, we're leaving kind of early, so it might not get here, but it did, and I'm happy, and I'm holding it. It's mine, guys. I'm really on. I'm on such a Pokemon kick, like you don't even know."
I'm still on the Star Wars kick. Pokemon, it's still alive.
Pokemon and Star Wars is my life right now. Like, fuck everything else. What's a toku?
It's weird. I've said this multiple times, but toku is like this huge part of my life between this and the reviews and any room I go into. But it's like the least exciting priority in terms of entertainment I consume within a week. Like, it's really kind of funny.
Like, right now, I just, like, want all the Pokemon ever, and, like, I still want the Kylo Ren lightsaber. And I
want... You see Kylo Ren's lightsaber? You don't have to look at it anymore!
And I want...
Love that video.
I want to see Star Wars, like, two more times. I still haven't got to that repeat viewing yet.
I might have to go see it a third time in theaters, just to be safe.
Just to be safe.
Like, just to be sure I got everything. Like, I'm going to watch it with another lens on. There was some other theory that I was going to watch it with. I don't know. Oh, I was going to watch it with the theory about her being Anakin's clone, and with the theory, or not the theory, just of seeing Matt as Kylo Ren, or, you know, Kylo Ren as Matt. Like, it's going to make it funnier.
Picture him with a blonde wig the entire movie.
Like, just in the interrogation scene, why don't you take off your helmet? And then he takes off the helmet in front of Ray, and he says, "Hi, I'm Matt, I'm a radar technician. I'm here to have some real talk. With some real folks." Oh, man, I love that video. Did you see the outtakes?
Yeah.
Sorry, employees. I heard that Kylo Ren's would have been better. I heard it would have had music. Oh, so good. I would watch a show of that, like just weekly, a weekly sitcom about Matt, the radar technician.
Absolutely.
Oh, good times.
So that's about it from my end.
Okay, let's see. I actually have stuff to say this week.
Seen any good dicks lately?
Well, yes, but I'm saving that for last. If I started it, I would say it's just the tip of the iceberg.
Oh, God. Oh,
dear God, it's happening. Okay, so to get less important or less exciting news out of the way, purchase-wise, I've been buying just like random little things on Amazon, like non-toku related. Like, I bought a Movie Masters Man of Steel figure because I hate how the Dark Knight or the Batman vs. Superman ones look. And I've been mulling over that purchase for a really long time because there's two of them on there. And one of them was $2 more, which is regular Movie Masters, and one of them was cheaper. And it comes with the little Krypton key from the movie. But, like, the pictures for the figure on Amazon make it look super derpy and, like, it's not the same figure. So I finally had to look it up, and it is the same figure, but Amazon has, like, a derpy-looking picture for the Movie Masters with key. But so I finally picked that up. On the Disney store, I ordered, diecast whatever Rey, Finn, and Poe figures, and I don't remember. I know I told Brian this. I don't remember if it was on the podcast or off, but I was looking for something to set it over so I could get free shipping because it's $75 with free shipping, and it was like $74.85. And I was looking for something small, and I wound up finding a $25 Diamond Select Ant-Man figure. So that worked because I've been looking for an Ant-Man figure. Like, I was gonna get the Marvel Legends ones, but he doesn't have the mouthpiece, and it bothered me. So I got that. I bought some cheap Animal Crossing amiibos. I'm slowly crossing those off my list. And I pre-ordered just Blathers because I like them so much, and I'm just going to assume the other new ones are going to end up being super cheap later. And I love how many Animal Crossing amiibos they're doing. I was on AmiAmi the other day, and I saw that they're doing the like Tommy and Timmy. I'm like, I kind of, especially since I'm on an Animal Crossing kick. Like, I'm on Star Wars and Animal Crossing. I been watching that LP still. I've been playing a little bit of my Wild World, not Wild World, New Leaf file. I did go back into Wild World, and I was half tempted to pay off my last loan, but there's so many weeds in the town, it bothers me. And there's, like, no way to get rid of them except for picking them. And I hate that. And I love how, like, I hadn't played New Leaf in 2 years. I mean, there's so, like, little weeds compared to Wild World, which is basically, like, a grass field. Like, I love that they fixed that. And I also booted up my original GameCube file, at which point I realized how next to impossible it is to plug in a GameCube into a modern TV. So I had to use my old Wii that I had put away since I got the Wii U, and I haven't really had a desire to play any GameCube games. So I'm like, I didn't realize how difficult that was going to be. I'm like, well, I guess I'm bringing out the Wii.
How do I even do this?
And it's like, maybe not quite as extreme, but it is kind of like playing Gen 1 Pokemon when you go back to the original Animal Crossing with animation, and like the storage is pitiful, and like every time you move up, like the camera has to adjust so you can see the next area, like it's not just a tilting world. And like, I did very, very little in that file, which just kind of proves how much better Animal Crossing is suited for handhelds.
Yeah, yeah.
With like how much time you can invest in it, but that's been that. Animal Crossing stuff. I did finally finish Omega Ruby because all I needed to do was beat the Elite Four, and it was super easy.
Yeah.
Oh, and Victory Road. And it did lead to some sort of funny final matchups. Like, against Wally, my Linoon took out his Mega Glade. And then, like, I went for, like, the really dramatic final battle of Mega Blaziken versus Mega Metacross, and he killed my Blaziken because I forgot to heal him because he was, like, the only one that took a hit. And then my regular, like, silver Metacross ended up taking him out. So, like, it was just really funny final matchups. But with EXP share being, like, all for these recent games, like, I love it, but it makes the Elite Four, like, super easy.
Yeah, it does. It really does. Like, it's a double-edged sword. Like, it's amazing because you actually feel like you have a team throughout the whole game without having to spend so much time grinding every single one. But then at the same time, by the time you get to the end, it's like everyone is so overpowered that...
Yeah, I'd love for them to find a balance because I like that, and I like being able to rotate like more than six if I want to and try out some different people. And then, yeah, if they could find a balance between that and making things a little more difficult, I never thought I would want that.
I'd like something like if you're using experience share, like the computer's levels are higher.
Yeah.
And then if you have it off, their levels are lower. Like, that can't be hard to program. So.
Yeah, it would be nice. I hope they get that for the next one. But I finished that finally. And I really did appreciate it. I loved the credits where it like showed a highlight of like all of your gym battles and stuff. That was really neat.
Mm.
Basically Animal Crossing and Star Wars with like a little bit of Pokemon, because I also realized when I did my Platinum Pearl rerun, I never finished Elite Four either, so I need to go back and do that. Oh my god, playing Generation 4 is the equivalent of getting zapped by the turtle after playing literally any other generation. Like, the speed in that game is so slow. Like, Platinum's a little bit faster, but dear god, Diamond and Pearl is like, alright, let's go Victory Road. Go Torterra. It's like, oh my god, are you going to go out or not? Jesus. So, I've been doing that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else I have to say before I get to the penises. I don't think there is. Yeah, basically all that just random stuff. I've still been watching the Clone Wars, and that's about it. Okay. Oh, wait. Before, because you'll appreciate this. I did check out Superstore. I got to watch the first two episodes, and it is pretty fun.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to finish the rest this weekend. Like, this, I wish I remembered more of them, because I found the second episode really funny, but one of my favorite quotes was, hello, welcome to meeting me. When he up to that inspector lady, that cracked me up. That whole episode was pretty funny. Like, and I love that one of the animal control guys from Parks and Rec is in it, and the bit of him, like, running away from the magazine guy because he loves the cover of a black guy in a wheelchair was just hilarious to me. There was just a bunch of funny bits in there.
Yeah, it's not, like, excellent or anything like that, but it's got a lot of funny in it. So
yeah, it's a lot of fun, and I think it has a lot of potential.
It kind of reminds me of, like, Season 1 The Office or Parks and Rec. Like, it's still good, but it's still trying to find its footing.
Yeah. And I don't remember her character name yet, but I really like the manager, like, over hyped security lady who's like way too serious about her job.
Dina?
Yeah, she cracked me up. Like, her thinking that the guy has a crush on her and like do like a code green or whatever when she thought the place was being robbed, and like she's just so over the top. But yeah, I'm definitely gonna catch up on it and keep up with it. And I think that if it continues, it'll be pretty good. And yeah, so I checked that out. Okay, so now on to Naked People. So I'm taking a figure drawing class because there's a graphic design class. This is my last semester, and there's a graphic design class that doesn't exist anymore. And I had a choice of either doing an independent study, which I was totally fine doing with a graphic design teacher back when I knew people, but the whole department changed and I don't know anybody. So I got to substitute an art class because I like the teacher and I know the people in the class. So I picked figure drawing because it wasn't at night. I hate night classes. So anyway, that's not important. But I'm taking figure drawing. So there's naked people in it, and there's really no need for them to be naked, to be honest. So the first naked person, there was a girl, and it was not disgusting. She had a nice pair of icons, if you know what I mean. That was all fine, and I actually wasn't, like, I was super nervous about the prospect in general, but, like, when we drew her, it wasn't as bad. I was nervous, but, like, the guy made me more nervous. We had him today, and, like, no joke, like, his hair was different, but his face looked so close to Reverse Flash, not Tom Cavanaugh. If it was Tom Cavanaugh, I would have just lost it. Like, I would just not be able to start laughing and, like, just quoting shit, but it was, like, Reverse Flash from last night. And he has, like, such a close face to it. And it was freaking me out. And on the very first day before we had any models, we were instructed, like, not to laugh. Well, I mean, so that they don't think we're laughing at them or anything. And we did it before we did these long poses. We did a bunch of really quick gesture poses. And the very last one he did was a running pose. He was facing me. And I'm like, oh my god, I cannot keep it together. Like, it was so hard because he seriously looks so much like him. And that was what made me so uncomfortable, is he would continuously face me. And more so than the girl, he would, like, glance down at people drawing, and it made me feel really nervous. But, like, he was doing the running pose, and I was really close to him, and I had to, like, pretend I was getting into my bag and just sort of, like, stifle my laughter. I could not contain him because he looks so much like him, and he's doing the fucking running pose. I'm like, this is not happening. This is not happening. It was so funny. And, like, I made a conscious effort to, like, move closer to the wall today so I wasn't so freaking close to the model statue thing, and they moved the model thing closer to me. It's like, god damn it.
You can't get away.
And, like, I don't see the purpose of why they can't wear underwear, especially the guy. The girls, you know, let it fly. I'm totally fine, you know? No, whatever. But, like, I don't see the purpose. Like, it's not teaching me anything by having his, you know, bubbles hanging out.
It's teaching you how to draw junk.
Well, you aren't even drawing that, though. We're just getting the gestures. And, like, when I'm walking around to other people, they're, like, drawing the nipples and they're drawing the junk. I'm like, I'm not even going to fucking touch that. I feel awkward just drawing the boob. Like, I had to, like...
You're not,
like,
even going to touch that?
Well, I had to, like... Well, I had to, like... When we were drawing the girl, I had to, like, do increments of time where I would look if I had to draw the boob. Because I'm like, I felt like I was looking too long and she was going to see, even though that's what I'm supposed to be doing. I would be like, all right, got this line, look. All right, no. 5 more seconds. It was really awkward. And then the other funny part was that midway through the class, the teacher, she was just demoing sighting, like, which we know how to do, but she was, like, showing how to sight by using the head and stuff. And all she needed the guy to do was stand up so that you could see his head, you know, it wasn't, like, obstructed or anything. And he was wearing his robe, so he would have been fine just standing up with his robe on. She's like, oh, can you just stand up? He stands up, throws his robe off. I'm like, sir, sir. Can you put that away? Like, she just needed you to stand up. It's like, he really did not need to get naked to stand up so that she could measure his head. Oh, god, that sounded so bad now. Like, can you imagine, like, how small the proportions would be if we used that head to measure for sighting? Right. Dear Lord. But yeah, so that's going to be an interesting class for sure.
It certainly is. In, like, the most not exciting way.
Huh. It's a journey. And, like, our first, other than drawing naked people, class project is, like, you have to get a figure with fabric and either have somebody or you take pictures of yourself. And, of course, I take pictures of myself. I'm not going to ask people to do this for me. But you have to drape some sort of fabric over you. So I got a Jedi robe and took a bunch of pictures. And, like, with the Kylo Ren lightsaber. like, I even warned people today. I'm like, I cannot promise you there's not going to be a lightsaber in this picture. So that's been me. It's been an interesting time in my life. I'm going to see so many penises. I did find out that our male model canceled for Monday and the girl's coming back, so I was pretty happy about that. So, yep. Speaking of a dick, should we move on to Toku News?
Yeah, let's.
Good segue. Brilliant. On point. Classic me.
Okay, there's a lot of scans out. So there is that. Ghosts, we've gotten good pictures of Himiko Damashii, which is very, very, very pink. And very odd.
When I first saw it, I thought it was one of those like magazine exclusive for fun forms.
If only. And now they showed off Galileo Damashii, which is one of those like Gambarizing exclusive forms, and it looks really cool.
Yeah, it does.
I'm like, why? Why this? Instead, you give us Himiko when we could have cool Galileo with like a UFO on his head or whatever the fuck it is.
Galileo.
What? Anyway. yeah. So that's a thing. There was a Necrom, Sanzo, Damashii. Did we see Grimm? Yeah, we saw Grimm. Yeah.
I like Grimm's except for his fucking square helmet thing. It bothers me.
Yeah.
Like, if it was circular like his regular one, it would look so much cooler. At least for me.
No, I can understand that. Yeah. What else?
They did show that he can use the other Damashii's with burning. Not burning.
Boost.
Yeah.
Yeah, because there's Musashi Boost, which is just red all over. Like, yeah. Super
it's not red. Like a huge change. It's kind of like when you're playing with the figures. It's like, that's it. It's not like the arms change where you kind of get significant. Suit changes.
All it does is make this base form red. It's not like he gets a power up or anything. The only difference was Musashi Damashii was now using the Gangan Saber in just the normal sword mode, and then the Sunglass Slasher too. That was the only difference.
it gives him double the form potential with all this then. I mean, they're not really that different, but still.
So there was that. I don't think there was really anything else for Ghost. We got some good pictures of the other Legend Rider ones. Spectres, Oz Damashii is great. I love it.
All of them are pretty neat. Honestly, if they did figure out 7, I might pick a couple up.
Yeah, I can go for some of those. Gaim I would get just because Gaim. And like I said, I would be really tempted by Spectre Oz for sure.
Yeah, the Oz one looks really cool. Like, I'm usually kind of fatigued at that whole, you know, pushing old seasons on gimmicks, but Ghost designs in general, between like the whatever historical figure they're using in these, they're pretty freaking cool.
Yeah.
Like, the show may be pretty just kind of mediocre, but the designs are pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, fist bump.
I don't think there was... I don't think there was anything else with...
No, I don't think so, because I just remember the Necrom stuff, and then Himiko, and then the Riders, and showing off he can mismatch the forms a little bit.
With Juojer, it was mostly just a lot of pictures of stuff we knew already. A little bit of plot points came out of it, like the fact that Red's... What's his name? It's a name that's just so generic.
That yellow is Asian Tebow from iCarly.
Oh my god. never gonna see that a different way.
I missed that show.
But like he was given a cube by a bird demon, which just made me think of Torin. Which would actually be really funny. But
it'd be funny if they just repainted Torin, like no one's gonna fucking notice.
No one's gonna know. And so he like gets transported to the world and he checks it out or whatever. I don't read up a whole lot about things anymore.
Neither do I. I used to wait for Kevin to read to me, and then he got kids and he's like, fuck you. I used to be his kid.
So there's that. We got some information on the villains that I'm honestly too lazy to bring up right now.
It was like they're playing a game.
Yeah, like it.
It's they, like it's the Ninja Steel summary, but with Georgia.
Basically, sort of. Yeah. Like this is Earth is the 100th planet that they're trying to take over, and they basically just like pick a guy and like they send him down, like try to take over the Earth, and then. Like when the monster gets defeated, like they use continue medals or, or continue tokens or something. And like, I thought that was really cool. Cause it got kind of like a semi video game tone to it, which is neat.
Like when I read tweets about it, I kept thinking this would sound so innovative if I hadn't read it a week ago.
Yeah. Yeah. It definitely has some, Ninja Steel sort of vibes to it, but.
To see how they both play out, but even regardless of the Ninja Steel thing,
this
setup
sounds
does
a lot
sound
less game show and a lot more video game.
Yeah, it kind of also reminded me of that. I don't remember who did it, but that fake Megaforce dub back with that video game.
Yeah,
that
was
that I really liked.
That was Speed Racer Flubber, and yeah. I don't know who else worked on that. If anyone else,
and they
did,
used the Scott Pilgrim sound effects. Yeah. I really liked that video. I would go back and watch it every now and then just because that was really neat. So
it was better than what we got.
Yeah, I would have loved the video game theme for Megaforce.
That we got like good, not good pictures of the villains, but there's like this big purple guy that looks like a polygonal model from the Nintendo 64 era. And I love him. He's my favorite. I don't really remember the other ones. One kind of looks like, that green chick from Gokaiger.
Yeah. I noticed that too. I'm like,
it's like a mix of her and Metal Alice from Gokaiger.
It's clearly part of the anniversary. It's going to be tied to the Zangyak.
Oh God.
My Toku fan voice.
Get out.
I already tried after the Houdini thing, but I'm the only other one here.
So there's that. Like it's hard to tell whether it's going to be good or not. Like I like what I see.
I like the concept of the whole game thing and calling the monsters players and stuff. Like
and
they pick
like,
up a lot
since,
of chicks.
Since some like the Megazord and stuff's got that whole like 8-bit Minecraft sort of feel to it, like. Going with a sort of video game-ish vibe is, like, totally fine with me.
Yeah. That would be really awesome if, like, since we're doing this sort of game showy game thing, like, I'll be interested to see how Geodrs and this compare to each other in that structure. I'm getting a feeling they'll be pretty different by the end of things. Mm-hmm. But, like, regardless of that, it would be neat if we really leaned into the video game theme if we do Geodr here.
Yeah.
Like, made it different and made some sort of... Because I just love the idea of doing an actual video game series, not like Mega Ranger, where they played at the arcade in the first episode and then decided to be boring for the other 49 episodes. Like, it would be really cool.
Now Dossman was a slice of life high school.
That show was so... Like, it wasn't as terrible as G-Ranger, it was just so bland.
It was. Blind.
Blind. Just blind, too.
Blind accurately describes Mega Ranger.
Is there any other news for this week?
I don't know, I'm eating a cookie.
We got clearer pictures of stuff we already seen of those MMPR movie morphers of the three that should have the ninja coins instead of the stupid tribal coin.
I think it's the ninja or the ninja coins.
I thought they were the pictures I saw were the dinosaur coins.
Oh, they are. I'm just saying, I think the final toy is going to have the ninja coins.
Yeah, they better. Like, seriously. Like, if they all came with tribal coins, that would be the dumbest thing ever.
If they all come with tribal coins, I'm not going to buy any of them.
Yeah, that would just piss me off, especially since...
Because I already got
white. I would be pissed if like they only came with their individual dino coins and not individual ninja coin. But at the very least, the tribal coin should be the tribal coin from the movie, the Ninjetti one. Because they have one. I would totally buy that. At least one of them, because that would be cool to have a coin of that, even though I never really had a coin. But at least it would make sense. Like... The whole point of that movie was the ninja powers.
Yeah.
And then the figures don't have them, and they wasted a cool opportunity of, you know, having swappable coins on those figures.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, well. Days gone by.
I thought there was something else. Oh, fucking Ichigo.
Oh, yeah! Ichigo shredded.
Rider 1 got ripped.
Is it... Because I didn't read anything about it, of course. I just looked at the pictures. Is it a power-up, or is it, like, a straight-up redesign?
It's like, a new form. Like, he gets...
Okay.
From what I understand, he, like, gets a new belt. And it gives him this new, like, armored form. So he can go kick Nova Shocker, I think is the name that they're using.
Jesus, Shocker, fucking close down.
Seriously. Just get a sign, sorry, we're closed.
Going out of business sale. All the Shocker rapist outfits they wear. Just go away. Like, from the, like, little hand-drawn picture we saw, I didn't expect it to be this bulky.
Yeah, I didn't either. Like, I looked at it, it was like, it's giving me super, like, Armored Batman vibes, just about how thick it is. I'm like, whoa.
I did not expect that at all. Like, I honestly, I guess it's a different thing since it's a pseudo power-up, but I honestly, out of the three options, prefer the first and the next ones. Like, I would like to see something like that and maybe do something like that for all of them if they're going to keep appearing in movies. Like, that's what I was hoping this was that they were going to redesign some of these guys if they're going to keep being in the movies. But I don't know. I don't hate it, but I don't really love it. I was kind of hoping for a neat, like, first and next style redesign instead of, you know, that form between Super Saiyan 1 and 2 that's, like, super bulky that they decided not to use like that. So I was not expecting him to do that.
Yeah, I wouldn't an asshole either. Like, I dig it in a way, but, like, it's honestly kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, it's definitely
like strange. Like I tweeted, I don't know whether this is awesome or awful.
It's awful.
I really didn't know.
This is.
The only other little thing is not really worth talking about whatsoever, but the Ninja Returns, like, V-Cinema got announced, like, it's Ninin Girls versus Ninin Boys or something. So it's just going to be awful.
The premise sounds dumb.
It's like, awful and sexist.
It'll kind of be like this week's episode. Even if it ends up being good, it'll be like this. I acknowledge that this is better done, but I feel nothing.
I acknowledge that this is really enjoyable, but I get nothing.
But I'm still soft over here.
I am dead inside. I am not erect.
It kind of remains to be seen, I guess, how that'll do, because the Tokyuger premise sounded cool, and it ended up actually being good. And Kyuriger, which I loved the series, and the premise was cool, I wasn't a huge fan of the movie, the Returns movie. I think it dropped the ball on the concept. But so I don't want to say it'd be interesting to see how this goes, but I mean, I'll watch it for the sake of completion, which is like, I half watch Ninja because of the podcast and half because of completion. And I don't want to have to go back and marathon it.
Yeah. I'd rather lose a bit of my soul every week than lose it all in one go.
Yeah, like there was a couple times where I quit Ninja like soft in the middle of the run and I'd had to marathon like 5 episodes, and that was pretty tough. Like, I did watch it at like 1.5 times speed, but when I did that with Tokyuger, the episodes, the dumb ones were still dumb, but it was so much. Tokyuger was a lot easier to watch in chunks. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was hoping that was going to happen with the Ninja the first time I quit. I was thinking, you know what, maybe it'll happen. It didn't.
Tokyuger just had a lot less bad episodes, I think.
Yeah, that's probably right. It's just like, because like when I would binge Tokyuger, I would like finish it and I'm like, I did not hate that chunk. I was hoping that would happen with the Ninja, and like the two times I quit and had to binge, it was like a tiny binge, but like that did not happen. It was like miserable. I'm like, damn, I was really hoping that would help. It did not.
No, it did not.
Alright.
Yeah, other than that, like the Geodra had its little like intro toy thing, and like the toys look neat, but other than that, really wasn't a whole lot else. Well, my mom's calling me,
right,
probably to ask if I want any food.
Get tacos, she might want some later. That's a throwback.
I don't think they have tacos.
I don't know, I always remember that one video. Nachos, it was nachos. Damn it,
they do have nachos, but I think they're awful nachos. Like, they're nachos, but they use, like, shredded cheese instead of liquid cheese.
I heard the cheese was shredded.
So it all just kind of goes together, and it, like, forms, like, a big chunk. It's really awful.
It could be Andy Dwyer's nachos where he doesn't even melt it.
Come on, Mom. I hit the button to answer the phone call, and you don't acknowledge my phone call in return because my phone was stupid. And when, look, I really want my cheese sticks. answer the damn phone.
Hashtag cheese sticks. The live ordering of cheese sticks. This is how the show rolls.
And an accept. Yes. Made it. Hello.
Hello.
Oh, Jesus. What? Hello?
Hello. Maybe if I try an accent. This spot on British accent, I'll get you a response.
Yeah, I'm here. Nope. Okay, bye.
Give me some mozzarella sticks down by the pond.
I just want my cheese sticks.
Get it from the Barbie.
Oh, this is so obnoxious. It's superhero time, just FYI, but...
It's superhero time. That's not how British people talk.
I'm still trying to... I'm gonna get these cheese sticks. Just...
That's how British people talk when they have a bad connection. What am I doing? Why do you let me in my own devices?
Mostly because I'm only half listening to you, and I really just want these cheese sticks.
It's all about the cheese sticks. I can't talk about Ninja alone.
Call has been... Well, she's down in the casino, and the reception is shit.
This is the worst thing that ever happens to a human. When you go to click on The Office and it's a Two Broke Girls rerun instead. Don't tell me The Office on and it's Two Broke Girls. It doesn't even have a Michael Scott. Fine, I'll watch Age of Ultron for the fifth time this week. It made it to stars. I rewatched it five times. It gets better with every rewatch.
Here's take two. Hello? Oh, no.
Hurry before Robert California gets mad. He's on the TV. He's a robot.
This is literally the worst.
Kickass is Quicksilver. His code name is Quickass.
Okay. Well, let's talk about Ninja.
Alright. Okay, Ninja. We mentioned this before, but this, like you said before the show also, is one of those episodes that it was a good episode, but I didn't care.
That sums it up perfectly.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's a really good way of summing it up.
This episode, like on paper, was amazing. Like you had like the final villain, like kind of facing off with one of the, I don't want to say main characters because it was just the grandpa, but like they're fighting, and then like the others like got their butt kicked by Kuemon, or Shingetsu or whatever his name is now, and.
It was still totally a girl in my mind.
Me too. And so then they have to like find their resolve, and they're like, oh, we don't have to kill Grandpa to be the last ninja. We could just make up our own shit, because honestly, this is all fake, right, guys? Right. And
look at those cameras. You can see it in our reflection. Idiots point it out all the time.
So then they like go to face them, and they're like, well, we don't have to listen to the rules of the last ninja, because we'll carve our own path.
Fuck your thing. Couch! Nee, 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 nee.
And then they start to win, and they're sure the Kinninpo was cut off at one point, but they defeated Kuemon and got it back, and then the dad got his ninja powers back, and then they did that three Aku ninja thing at the end, which was an all right roll call, and that was about the most excitement that came out of that, because then the episode ended. But like I said, on paper, this was a perfect episode. Like, it had all those little things that make, like, for a good near-end Sentai episode, except I just don't give a flying fuck.
Yeah, that's basically it. Like, I hate to always sound like that, but it's just this detachment. Like, I don't feel any emotion to what's going on. It's like I'm very clinical about understanding the good elements that are going on. And it also kind of brings to light, kind of like in Tokyuger in the middle and beginning, where I would talk about elements and concepts I liked that they weren't fleshing out as well. Except, like, I'm seeing those in the Ninja, but it's not as cool. Like, Tokyuger had some pretty innovative concepts that I felt could have been fleshed out better. Mm-hmm. But Ninja has very generic, tropey aspects that would have made for, if they had properly done things, it still wouldn't have been a great Sentai. It would have been very mediocre, but because there's nothing really new going on. But, like, they could have spent more time on Kuemon's stuff and backstory, even though she's been this, or he's whatever, has been sort of the central mystery or plot of the series. But they still could have spent more time on it to make it more impactful and more interesting.
I feel like if there was more hints or threads, at the very least, going on, that it might have been a little bit more compelling. But the problem is that you surround Kyoemon, which kind of always from the beginning was kind of a fascinating villain. You surrounded her with her, I said her, wow, him, with with nonsense. Like none of the other villains in the show mattered in the slightest sense. And so you have one interesting villain that has nothing to play off of because the rest of the villains are absolute bullshit. Like, the Shadow Line was fascinating because all segments of the Shadow Line were interesting characters. You don't have that here because you only have one singular good character. And so they kind of just let her, him, go off on her, his own, like, path. And so it ends up being this very segmented story that is just kind of built over these tiny slivers in a bunch of filler episodes.
And, like, the story between him and the dad was kind of interesting. I that was something I didn't necessarily expect.
Hold on, we got Nacho's take two.
Oh, sorry.
This is take three.
This is important.
Hello. Yeah. Hey, Ma, your phone sucks.
Try texting her.
Your phone sucks. No, that's fine. Mozzarella sticks, please. Oh, no, come back. Don't do this to me again.
I almost had the cheese.
Hello?
Hello.
I want mozzarella sticks. Every time I say mozzarella sticks, my phone cuts out.
The universe is conspiring against you.
Okay, well, I know, I heard that much, but I just...
Mozzarella sticks, just kill it.
I really want the mozzarella sticks. Yes?
Where's the mouse? Oh, there it is.
Whenever you come up, yeah.
Can you come up in 5 minutes? Can you mail me some? It sounds good. I had some earlier, but more sounds good.
All right. Yep. Bye. Yeah, all that for mozzarella sticks.
It was worth it.
It was. Audience, you have no idea how long that was, because I'm going to cut half of that out. But let me
probably
tell you,
the bloopers. Hashtag quits for mozzarella sticks.
It was an effort. Half of that was like silence of me going, yeah, I'm not putting that in the bloopers.
Or at least the beginning part.
No, the beginning
part. Kind of a highlight reel.
The beginning part's just staying in the show. I don't give a fuck.
My turn?
Yep.
It sounds like we're playing something. Okay. Okay. What was I talking about? Oh, yeah, the dad. Okay. So I had to think again. Like, if they had just fleshed out Kyoemon and the dad's backstory, I think that was probably, if I had to pick one thing I thought was the most interesting for a ninja, it was Kyoemon and, like, the fact that she was actually, like, you know, a fellow student with the dad. And I think if they had fleshed that out more in terms of Kyoemon's motivations in some sort of flashbacks, and then with the dad as well, I think that that would have made the moments in this episode much more meaningful with him getting his powers back. Uh-huh. And it didn't help that he disappeared for, like, large chunks at a time. And, like, he's sort of a side character, but he could have been more prevalent. Like, that could have been a pretty cool plot point to play up in the series and to make this a bigger moment.
He didn't do anything, like, throughout the entire show. And, like, that plot point about him getting his powers taken was, like, only brought up, I think, twice throughout the entire run.
Yeah, pretty much. It was brought up when it happened, and then, or when we found out, and then, like, one other time, and then this time. It was, like, three times, basically.
Yeah.
That was the problem with the ninja, is when they would bring up their, quote-unquote, major plot points, they would only bring them up, like, it was as if the filler, those hardly existed, the major plot points. Like, uh-huh. You would bring up a major plot, and then we would have, like, 5 or 6 episodes of nonsense, and they would barely acknowledge that any revelations happened, and then when they needed to bring it up again, like, it made it feel so awkward. Like, you can tell this is written by someone that only writes fillers.
Yeah.
And So yeah, that could have been so much more well played up, I think. Like, just so many of the things about Ninja, they weren't innovative or amazing, but if they had played him up, at least it could have made it a more unique show, and I think that him getting his powers back would have been cooler. And as much as I really don't care for the characters, I would have loved to have seen them do different suits for the grandpa and the dad. Like, it probably would have been more expensive to do full-on different, but maybe, like, use one of the suits, even if it was Aka Ninjas, as a base and made it more different.
Uh-huh.
It would have been really cool, just because I like the Ninja suit so much. I would have loved to have seen two different suits come out of this instead of just
something a little different than, like, sash. Even just, like, a different helmet. Like, keep the red suit, keep the different sash, but, like, just a different design on the helmet.
Yeah, that would have been cool. Like,
even
because
if it
the
was still red, because I get the whole thing, like, they would have been the leaders of their respective groups and stuff. So I understand keeping it red, but, like, give it a different helmet.
Yeah, it would have been just cool to see, just because, like I said, you like the suit so much, and it would have been a cool opportunity to do something like that. I was trying to think if there's anything else I was going to bring up from this episode. Not much. Like, we basically covered everything I wanted to say, that they just really could have played up stuff more, different suits, and don't care.
My husband continues to be absolutely useless.
At least he's taking care of the kids you abandoned for him. Like, before he gets killed again.
He was in that steamroller thing, and then they blew it up quickly. And then he vanished for most of the episode, and then came back.
That was quick, and he's like, ha, I'm not actually dead. Look.
Did he change color? I feel like he changed colors.
I don't think I paid enough attention to realize that or not.
I didn't either. He just looks kind of different, but it's probably just because I haven't seen him since episode 9. Why did he get killed off again?
I don't know. Because the Ninjas villains were too large at that point. They needed to be a smaller shack of nobodies.
I remember early on in the show, I thought, like, with Gabirazo, right, whatever, my husband, dying in like, episode 9, and then the old guy came in, and I thought he was gonna die, like, in the episode 20s, and then he just kept living, and then they brought in the wife character, and then she kept living, and they all kept living. I'm like, why did you kill my husband?
Why this?
Why? Why has my family come to this?
You know, it's funny. Like, there's usually those series where people will say, and I've said before, where you like the villains more than the heroes, and you're kind of rooting for the villains. In this series, I'm really not rooting. I would like them both to die. Like,
Can I root for Lion Hollow?
Like, can we just get all the Ninjas and all three Ninja villains to rush at each other and just kill each other, and then everyone's dead? That would be, like, the most amazing finale.
Lion Hollow just crushes everybody and then turns into the Gow Ranger singer and just drinks beer and belches.
Like, and then falls off a cliff for being so annoying. And then it's all happy.
And everyone wins.
Oh, man.
For anyone, Pink can live, because I said so.
Yeah, she was smart a few times, and she was more bearable, so she's fine. Let's just let her be the only one realize not to run at each other, and then everyone runs at each other and kills, and then she's fine.
Just stops, guys. I think running... Oh.
Like, oh, you're dead already? Okay. Lion, how don't fall over that... Oh, right. I guess so.
I'm going to go make a machine that lets me talk to robots.
What do we have? 2 more weeks? Is it two?
Two more.
Yeah, so 2 more, and then we're done. And we have, like, this really cautious thing about Jujur, like a tiny sliver of optimism, and hopefully we're not completely crushed. We'll see.
If I get crushed, can I at least get crushed later?
Let's wait a little bit. To be fair, the Ninja didn't crush us right away, but it was pretty soon.
Yeah, the excitement for the Ninja didn't last a whole while. It was like a couple episodes, and then I just gave up.
It was like a couple episodes and a couple toys, and we're like, that's it? That's what you got?
Welp, okay. Man, I guess. It's a ghost?
Yep. Ghost. Ghost was very okay this week.
Yeah, like, again, it wasn't really bad. It just wasn't
I did
amazing.
Like the previous two episodes better.
Oh yeah,
in terms of what was going on.
I love the thing with Ryoma. I like those two episodes a lot.
Yeah.
And like this one, I feel like it was trying to keep that steam going with like trying to communicate with Musashi, and then like
and
in the same vein, Spectre trying to communicate with Houdini. Except he can't because he's an inept douchebag.
Yeah, like, I feel like they're trying to do things a little bit differently. And, like, because he was even saying he wanted to do things different than Takeru. And, like, I didn't really understand the resolution behind it. Like, Houdini chained him up. Houdini never talked. It was just an eyeball chaining him up.
Houdini's and then, like, kind of an asshole.
And then he got access to the form because he squished the eyeball when he was under rubble. That's what I took away from this. And like,
no, Dawson, it was because he had strength and determination to save his sister.
He didn't even get out of the chains.
Houdini was like, man, I guess.
So exciting. Well, and it's like, I kind of like the idea of not trying to do things the same for every icon and do things different. But at the same time, after seeing like the ending with Musashi, where it was kind of like this character in this sort of, it was like a fully developed suit of the jackets, where it was like a humanoid. I'm like, damn it.
Basically, I feel like it was Ghost suit, but without, like, the armor.
Yeah, it was
like,
just,
all
yeah.
the little armory bits removed, so it was just, like, yeah. black spandex with the little logo.
Basically, because it was, like, making the jackets human.
Yeah.
And, like, I kept thinking, like, this would have very much so had a lot of samey qualities with Denno, but I would have loved, like, all of the icons being a character like that, where they looked like a humanoid uh-huh. jacket and have different funny personalities mm-hmm. and then sometimes possessing things. I'm like, it would have been so samey, and I probably would have like called that out, but it would have been entertaining.
Once we got like the synopsis and basis of the show, that was at the core what I wanted. I was perfectly yeah. fine with like a new sort of Denno.
Yeah, like, that would have been really neat. Like, because they try to do things a little bit differently with Houdini, but it's like, I would just love for them to all have personalities and these little jacket human forms and then possess people. Like, it would have been familiar but fun. And because I liked that he
and
talked
about arguably, Josh, most of the kids watching this would have never seen Denno.
Yeah.
So I with like, double O's and Forze and Wizard and that stretch being so formulaic, I think it would be perfectly okay to try to repeat Denno now with a bunch of kids yeah. that have probably never seen it.
I mean, it still would have been kind of different because these are like spirits of people, and it's also kind of yokai watchy with certain aspects of it.
Yeah.
But like, I really didn't mind that just because I did like Denno for that reason.
Uh-huh,
I like
uh-huh,
the individually Majin personalities, and I loved when he would possess Ryotaro or anybody else. Like, it was fun. That was what I liked. Denno was a really good balanced series.
I think the problem is trying to find an actor as good as Takeru Sato again.
Yeah. But see, that's why you just have these sort of humanoid-y forms that are basically the Imogen suits, and then only possess people when you can find somebody that can handle something like that. And even if it doesn't possess Takeru, that's how you make it different, maybe. Like, maybe he just possesses random citizens and, like, talks to Takeru through them.
Or hell, just have a little CGI ghost talk.
There you go.
possess people when you can and need to.
Like, that just would have been so cool. It's kind of like with Ninja, I'm just talking about potential stuff they could have had. But that aside, everything about the episode was very okay with that. Yeah. Like, the Houdini stuff, after all of that, I hate to say after all of that build-up, after like making it sound like it was epic, but it just seemed so quickly resolved in a very unsatisfying yeah. way.
Especially and Houdini, we, like, never saw him, like, interact with Houdini itself.
Yeah.
Like,
and, like,
we never
especially
saw
coming
inside up with, like, the suit or anything. It was just, I'm going to stare at this toy prop.
And click it.
I'm going to click you.
And, like, especially coming off the episode where Ryoma made Takeru work for it, like, it would have been the perfect opportunity to do a similar story. Like, I know his bit was he wanted to do things differently than Takeru, but they still could have somehow done it different, but same. I don't know how that works. And, like, the Houdini suit, I like, or the jacket or suit or whatever you'd call it, I like the base of it. I'm not a fan of the bike wings.
So, like, I was fine with it until they had the prop version of it, and then I lost it a little bit.
Yeah, like, I do not like the gimmicky bike wings, but if you take the wings off and it's just, like, if it was a normal-ass jacket, I really dig it. Mm-hmm. And it bothers me, like, in general...
It's really stupid because, like, he has it as, like, a jetpack, and then, like, it flew off, but then he rode it like a hoverboard. I'm like, why don't, go on his hoverboard. Why don't you just do one of these? Why do you do both?
It's really stupid, and... In general, I'm not a fan of these half-hearted, like, 1/4 Megazord battles that Kamen Rider's been trying since Den-O, where they have, like, some sort of vehicle or bike or giant thingy fighting a CGI monster that has dumb reasoning for coming out, and they keep trying it. Like, I get the toy sales things, but just sell a different toy. I'll buy it, I promise. But just... I just don't like that. It doesn't appeal to what Ryder is for me, and it's so forced and kind of boring for me.
He fucking calls Urasen. I need Captain Ghost. It's like, I think you take me for granted. He gets blown up.
But yeah, I'm not a fan of those types of things. Like, Den-O did it with the liner. I think Kiva did it, like, maybe a couple times, and they blew their CGI budget and then barely did it again. Like, Kiva had something, and then Ixa had, like, that giant vehicle he used twice.
Ixa's vehicle was only used once.
No, it's not even. Wow. Halved. What about, did Double, I mean, I know Double had, like, the giant machine, Revolgari, but did they ever do anything like that?
Double did it a couple times. I can think of at least two. Quetzalcoatlus episode and Tyrannosaurus episode, I think.
Because I'm trying to remember.
One was really early on when they were debuting the toy, and then...
Yeah, because then I don't remember being around very much near the...
And then I think they did one near the end, because that was when, like, he, like, hooked up to Axel or something and started flying around. I don't remember...
I guess you could count Power Dizer from Forza. That's probably the only one I liked, because I actually really dig Power Dizer. Did Wizard do anything like that? Yeah, because they had some dragon
every
stuff.
Every time they went inside.
So. Yeah, that's right. I forgot about that. Gaim only did it at the very beginning with Suika Arms. Like, it was... I don't remember them doing it later at all. Like it was very
Suika
early.
Suika was used a couple times, but... Like, it was in different context.
Yeah, like, because they remember at the beginning, like, those invests would go crazy and, like, eat a bunch of lock seeds and then get giant. They did that a couple times. And then after that, Suika, like you said, it was used in a couple different ways that weren't involved in a giant monster. But even then, it was pretty scaled back after the intro of it. But, I mean, they've still, like, on and off since Den-O have been trying that concept. And it just does not click with me. It just does not work.
Yeah, that was the one part of Den-O I really didn't like. Was despite the fact that I really liked the trains, and I liked seeing the trains battle, at the same time, I didn't like it.
Yeah, it was weird. And, like, Drive kept trying to make it happen with the Trideron forms, which I liked the car-changing forms, but I'm just not a fan of those battles. And then, like, the go-karts that they never used properly, and they used it again in the movie, and they still didn't use it properly.
And then I hooked up to a ride crosser, and I'm not even sure if it could do that.
Like, it just cracks me up, because they never even got to do it once, like, of anything I've seen. Like, usually when they have a rider thing they introduce, like, the Ixa thing, they used it once, but, like, they didn't even use this the way advertised once. Oh man,
they used it simply so they could get Trideron to fly. That was the much. Only reason it existed. And they're like, how can we make these relevant? Let's make them go karts. Okay, cool.
Oh, Toku, you are a silly beast.
So Ghost was okay.
Yeah, Toku's so exciting right now.
Yeah, it really is. Dino Charge comes back next week.
Yeah, it does.
This weekend, actually, is what I meant. But, I mean, next week on the show.
We actually didn't get an early premiere in, which I was disappointed in, because A, you get to see it early, and also I didn't get to see everyone bitch about it, ruining the ratings. Even though they just re-upped their deal with Nickelodeon, so obviously they're happy with what's going on, at least to some extent.
But they're either happy with what's going on, or Saban's giving them enough money.
Or Saban's just strong-arming them. Oh, but
I give you more millions.
But it's just, that's exactly how he talks. He talks just like Pietro from Age of Ultra. You didn't see that coming.
I don't know why.
I give you more millions. I don't know why. You didn't even see that.
An awful Russian or something. I don't know why I chose that voice, but
I chose that reference because I'm watching Age of Ultra right now. Spoiler alert. But yeah, I think that's it for Toku.
Cool. Because now it's time for Ramble Time.
The highlight of Ramble Time is still gone. Pokemon.
It's still not on, and I don't think there's actually any huge Pokemon news going on. There's stuff that's relevant to me, but probably not really to anyone else, so I'm just going to bypass it completely.
You didn't do that third game.
What? Oh, they the Detective Pikachu game.
Oh, yeah, I forgot about
fucking
that.
Fucking yes. Like, that's my new Twitter avatar, because that's just fucking amazing. Like, if it plays anything, like, kind of like Professor Layton, I'm all over this shit. Like, he talks and everything, I'm like, yes, this is great. This is everything I've ever wanted that I didn't know I needed.
It's going to be pretty funny.
So I really hope that gets localized. If not, I'm going to have to sit back and watch some Let's Plays, because I need to see this. Other than that, there was some TCG stuff with, like, Weird Nationals. Like I said, no one cares about that, so... The 20th anniversary celebrations like start like on February 1st. Like, you can go get Mew at GameStop, and
is it like the thing where you have to go get a little card?
Yeah.
I hate interacting with humans.
I'll probably get extra cards.
I just want to download it on the internet. Is that so hard? You can still promote it. People still know about Pokemon if you put it on the internet. Don't make me go places,
bro. But GameStop's like, I give you more millions.
Millions. Unlimited millions. Oh, GameStop.
Let's see. So we said we're going to do Supergirl first, right?
Yeah, because that's what airs first.
Yes.
And, yeah, this was a pretty good episode this week, I thought.
I was not expecting them to jump into Martian Manhunter stuff so fast.
Yeah, I was thinking about that, how, like...
I would like to point out that we still have a prison ship full of inmates that have not appeared in this show whatsoever.
Yeah, honestly, I thought that was going to be, like, the main basis of the series.
Me too.
Like, and they were at the very beginning, and then they just had that multi-parter with her and her husband. But, like, we've been focusing on that Lord guy... And then the Martian Manhunter stuff is starting to come out more often, and I'm fine with that. I actually think that the prisoners could stand to appear more.
Uh-huh.
Like, not like overshadow it, but like a balance would be awesome.
Yeah, because I was expecting this like criminal of the week thing, and instead we got like stuff with Maxwell Lord, and then Hank was... Martian Manhunter, and then, like, we immediately jumped into White Martians, and some of a sudden you're going, well, okay, neat.
Yeah, like, I think it could be more balanced just because it does make it seem kind of awkward that the initial premise of the series seems so, like, in the background.
Uh-huh.
But I do like how, I was thinking about, like, the Flash during this and how I'm so impressed with how much the Flash has, like, delved into the mythology and so many characters, and yet... I don't feel like it's been rushed.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I feel like in Supergirl, maybe in some aspects it's been a bit rushed, but I still love how fast we are able to get into various things.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the Martian Manhunter stuff is neat because I didn't expect them to bring him in the first place.
Oh, yeah, like, that completely coughed me. Coughed me?
Gosh, you coughed you.
That completely caught me off guard, and it turned Hank into such a fascinating character.
Yeah, because I'm like, oh, he's just going to be the like, dick boss.
This guy's just a douchebag.
Yeah,
and
basically.
And then it turns out he's fucking Martian Manhunter. I'm like, whoa.
And I was like, I think I mentioned this when we first talked about it, but I'm still surprised because I didn't think they would use someone so important because of the movies and what they're doing with all that. Like, there's nothing on the schedule or in any sort of information that Martian Manhunter is going to be appearing, but he's usually in most Justice League stuff I see, so I assume they would make plans for him at some point. So, but like, I'm all for that, them doing multiple things. Like, obviously, Flash is doing well enough. They're not going to yank the Flash off the air just because they're doing a new Flash movie. But there's certain things, like with Arrow, which we'll actually probably get to today, that they're getting rid of. So I think it's kind of funny that, like, for smaller things, they're making people get rid of it, but still using bigger things. But I don't know. I'm still glad that it's happening. And the design for the White Martian was pretty damn good. It was very, like, disturbing.
The CGI mix between the actress that they used for the human and the CGI they used for the White Martian was mixed really well.
Yeah.
Like, it was like some straight up like horror movie shit.
Yeah, it was disturbing. And like even just the straight up design for the White Martian was good, and it was really neat to see. It gave some good material for Hank/John of like his backstory with his family and everything, and he did a good performance.
I wanted to give him a hug. I'm like, oh.
I'll give you a Martian hug. Got
burned into the In the Nazi ovens, basically.
They got burned.
Basically, the White Martians are the Nazis. The Jews. That was basically the story of the Martians.
They only like those white-skinned, blue-eyed Martians. You know them.
And, like, so all this shit's going on with, like, Martians. And then, meanwhile, you're watching Cat Grant try to cope with the fact that she's seeing her son for the first time ever.
I forgot that was a thing, too. Like, I remember that plot point, obviously, but I forgot that whole thing was a thing. And they, like, and he's like a pseudo love interest for Kara, even though she's kind of got the whole Jimmy and Wynn thing going on. She getting around.
I would get around. I would like to get around. while we're on that subject. But, Cat's kind of like one of those things where, just like Hank, I was not a character I was expecting to be fascinated with. But damn, she turned into a great-ass character.
And she didn't turn into Martian Manhunter, but she's still pretty damn good. Yeah, like, I didn't expect that either. Like, I honestly thought she was just going to be, like, both characters, oddly enough, like the bitchy boss that would just sort of be there. Like, Hank would be there to be like, oh, Supergirl, you're on the edge, you can't be working with us. And then she would just be like, get my coffee, Kira, you're late again, what are you doing with your life? But then they both ended up having like these sort of more in-depth stories, and I appreciate that. Was there a third thing going on this week? Maybe not. I feel like there was a third thing, but I guess it was just like
Jimmy got Kara's... to be a photographer again.
Oh man, that was like the highlight of the episode. Fuck the Martians and Cat Grant's character development. He got to go get photos again.
I'll go do it. Bitch, you have layouts to do.
Fuck your layouts. I'm taking pictures. Moment of the episode.
Fuck your layouts. Well, okay. Can't argue with that one. Go get him, Jimmy. It's James.
But you have layouts to do. Are you being racist? No. Go do them. Go do the pictures. I'm not being racist. What do you mean, lawsuit? I mean, just go do the pictures. And like at the very end of the episode, they teased that like bizarro Supergirl.
Yeah.
That Maxwell's creating. So like, it did seem like, now that I thought about it, it was kind of funny that like last episode ended on him finding out about her being Supergirl, and then this episode didn't have anything to do with him until the very end, and then even then we didn't see him, which is just kind of funny when you think about it.
He was absent from like this entire episode.
Yeah, because like the Supergirl alternate is obviously tied to him, but like we didn't even see him, so that is kind of a little bit awkward, but...
If this wasn't a ninja, we wouldn't see him again for about another month.
Yeah, pretty much. And they would act like he never did anything at all. None of the events that have taken place have even happened. It doesn't even matter. But next week should be interesting with the whole alternate Supergirl thing. For sure. Like, he's almost the main villain of the series at this moment.
Yeah.
It's kind of weird.
What's her face just kind of went away.
It's weird. It's like when you're in a procedural, when they have like a main storyline, but then like the most of the series is filler. But instead of filler, it's other main storylines that don't have to do with the main storyline. So like that's definitely a curveball they threw with that. But I feel like the show's been very much more often than not improving every week, which I think is good.
Yeah.
Like, I'm looking forward to the future. And when that big belly burger shows up, you know it's going to happen. They're going to eat a burger.
Okay, hit the fan.
It's always funny when you see, like, an article that's talking about speculation of eventual Flash crossover. Like, how are they going to do it? I'm like, are you kidding me? Flash literally just introduced the multiverse. It's like, it's so easy. It's like one game board piece away from being possible. Okay.
Speaking of.
Boom. Brilliant segue. Flash.
Oh my god.
Flash was strong this week. There was a lot. This episode was packed full of meat.
Flash was beyond strong this week. Like,
there was
Flash
so much
was like
going
the new
on.
Ichigo levels of.
He was shredded.
He was Kylo Ren levels of shredded. That's how good this Flash episode was.
Like, because we had the reverse Flash stuff. We had Patty's goodbye. Why is Patty leaving? 0 out of 10. And
Patty left. Worst episode ever.
Like, but I honestly, like, obviously, story-wise, I see why she's leaving, but I'm not sure why they're deciding to have her leave. I thought she was a really fresh presence on the show. Like, I thought she got a solid exit. I honestly thought she wasn't going to find out, and then, like, she would come back later and then find out.
She's too smart for this shiz.
Yeah, I do like that she figured it out, though. It makes sense, considering she's a detective. Oh, God. What's happening?
My cheese sticks are here.
Please hold. Okay, so, like, I don't know. I just thought it was really early for them to let go of her character. I mean, I assume she'll be back, but I hope it's not like a, hey, she comes back to visit for one episode. I hope when she comes back, it's more on a at least semi-permanent basis. It just, I don't know. I obviously liked Peace Bibs, and it just seemed weird to all of a sudden have her leave.
Do we have confirmation that she's, like, gone?
I don't think she's gone forever, but, like, for now, she's gone. Like, based on, like, what the actress was tweeting and stuff.
Oh, okay.
But it just seems like... Like I said, I hope it's not, like, a Roy thing or, like, one of those characters that comes back for an event episode.
The Hoppa.
I hope it's not like the Hoppa, where it's just, like, she's a cable service. But, like, which is, like, one episode comes back and visits, and then it's, like, I'm gone again. Like, I hope when they bring her back, it's for more semi-permanent. Like, maybe she becomes a CSI at Central City or something. That would be neat.
That's probably what's going to happen if she sticks around. Which I hope she does, because I need her face in my life.
Yes, exactly. I need all parts in my life, to be honest. But, like, I guess it's part of, like, the whole Barry is having a hard time and can't really find happiness thing, but it's still, like, with how much time they invested in him and just, like, for her to all of a sudden leave, like, I'm definitely hoping that she's around more later. But in addition to that, Reverse Flash was back. Obviously, it was the main event. And it was like the guy who posed naked. No, but this is like before he met anybody.
God, this was so fucking brilliant.
It was so timey-wimey.
It was super timey-wimey because like shit that happened here is like motivation for him when he comes back the appropriate way.
And information too, like stuff he would know about Cisco's powers. Like that's probably how he knew about Cisco's powers.
Mm-hmm.
When he was talking to him and seeing Harrison Wells, even though like he didn't know that it was Earth 2 Harrison Wells.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because in like a article I read before the episode, they said that this guy was like incorporating Tom Cavanaugh's performance into his, which I really didn't see like any of his mannerisms in it.
Yeah, I didn't pick that up a whole lot. I like what he did.
Like, he was definitely, I think what it did was enhance the character and the fact that this version was very, petty, mm-hmm. I would almost say, petty or childish in a manner, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, he was much less mature than the Wells version, which I think really added to it, like, this one seemed much more childish and a little more angry, and, like, it really enhanced the fact that when he becomes Wells... Like, he really changed in that he still hated the Flash, but obviously one of the major elements I thought was so interesting was the fact that he slammed doors. That
was my cheese stick savior leaving.
He became this father figure and this friend to Barry and to Caitlin and to Cisco. Like, changed the way he felt about him in a way. And also, having to live as Wells as this different person. I mean, living as a different person with a different face has to change you. And I think that whole thing makes the character so much more fascinating, is how much he changed having to be Wells and sort of forming these bonds with a person he hated and then these other people as well. And so I think it was really neat to see a version of Reverse Flash before that, where he was very different in a lot of ways. But like they said that he incorporated the performance, which I didn't see, especially when I'm seeing stuff like on Supernatural, where Misha Collins is an amazing Lucifer. Just side note of that.
Think he did a good job of kind of incorporating the manic side of Kavanaugh's Wells, yeah. Or Kavanaugh, whatever. Kavanaugh's Wells,
yeah.
His AO part.
Yeah.
I think he did a good job of, like, trying to mirror that sort of, like, manic, angry state. But outside of that, it was very, very much a, like you said, less mature, like a very, almost kind of like an innocence. Like, he hasn't done a whole lot of bad yet.
And we basically threw that, like, because he was so, like, easy to get mad, and he explained essentially the backstory, which is the backstory you can read on Wikipedia, of he was essentially a fan of Flash, and
it's basically verbatim, like, comic Eovar's backstory, and that's perfectly fine.
Yeah, unless they decide to go back later, they did take out the part about him getting plastic surgery to look like Barry, or whatever he got to look like Barry, and tried to be the Flash.
Because that's just kind of creepy, honestly.
Yeah, but like basically he loved the Flash, and then he found out he was supposed to be his enemy, and that sort of twisted him up, and then he wanted to be better than him. But I love how, like, there's some complexity there with, like, him changing because he found out he's destined to become the enemy of somebody he liked. But it just adds to it, like, how sort of simplistic and angry that was, to how interesting it becomes when he becomes Wells. Mm. Which is why the Reverse Flash was such a good villain. And I definitely don't think we'll see the last of him.
Probably not.
I don't know how, but I really hope we see Wells Flash again, because this guy does a good job, but Tom Kavanaugh is just the best Reverse Flash. I think it's because of the bond. Well, yeah, that's true. But like, I think it's because the bonds. I mean, just in performance, he does a fantastic job, but the bonds you see him forming with Cisco and everybody and Barry really adds so much to the rivalry and the performance. And you know what made me think is that, like, in this episode, we learn, like you said, that all this stuff informs his future of what we see. And the fact that when Barry first meets him, he says, "You're supposed to be dead." And he says, "That's good to know." I get a feeling that, like, if they bring him back in present, that will have something to do with it. Like, that he knew of that information, that maybe there's some sort of safeguard he set up, that somehow he could come back in the present, you know? It's kind of hard to do. Like, there was, like, the craziest time travel logic that, like, is crazy, but it sort of makes sense of why he's existing, because he comes from the future, and that's where he starts. And they basically explained, which it was not, like, an amazing in-depth, "Oh, it's so clear." It was a very timey-wimey explanation, but I'm very happy that they touched on why nothing in the timeline has changed. Because if they were playing by different rules, then their whole timeline would have changed based on Eobard not existing.
Right.
But it's basically like he stopped existing after a certain point. So, like, every...
Like, I forgot who it was. It might have been Jordan from Toku Nation. I don't remember who it was, but it was basically, like, this situation where he basically has to return to a future that he can't return to because it won't exist.
Whoa.
Because from his presence, he's basically this little anomaly because he's not supposed to exist, but he came from the future in which he does exist,
into the past, which he doesn't exist. Yeah, I get that. And so in order to get to where he needs to be, he needs to go back. He needs to go back to the future.
Willis!
He needs to go back to the future in order to eventually come back to the past to set everything in motion that was from season one. So, like, that's why when he's captured, like, Cisco starts freaking the fuck out. He starts phasing away.
He's going ghost.
He becomes Danny Phantom. It's crazy. And, like, that's why when he gets sent back to his time, everything becomes okay again. Because now he's there to eventually go back again.
To finish the loop.
It's this really weird loop about futures that don't really exist anymore.
Like, and it's all very convoluted, and every sort of series that has to do with time travel has their own rules. Mm-hmm. So, like, there would have been a series where something like this would have happened, and then season two, the whole universe would have been different because of this character being erased. But, like, it kind of makes sense in the fact that, in the first place, Eobard comes from a different timeline in which Barry became the Flash later on.
Yeah.
And him going,
he already fucked it up by doing everything early.
Yeah, and so he, you know, made the Flash become the Flash earlier, creating a separate timeline. Which I don't know how that even ties into the parallel universe thing, but it's like he essentially still exists in the prime Flash timeline. So it still makes sense in my head. Mm-hmm. Like, it's very convoluted, but there's so many time travel things I've watched that I don't have a problem with it, and it makes sense in that way. It's kind of like how future Trunks traveled back and helped, but when he went back to his future, it was still apocalyptic because he essentially branched off a new timeline. So Eobard still exists in a different timeline, but like not in ours anymore, but they're still interconnected. It's like they're interconnected, but at a certain point they branch off. Like, it's all very timey-wimey, weebly-wobbly stuff, but I love all that shit.
Yeah.
And,
he does stop existing at a point in his timeline. Because he comes back and then never goes back.
Yeah.
But he always exists up until... Basically, he exists in his timeline up until the point where he goes back to try to kill little Barry. And then eventually just kills Barry's mom instead. So...
And I, in general, though, I just love that they actually touched upon that, which was one of my questions. I don't want to say it was like a complaint, but like the fact that you have a game changer, like a character that's affected everyone's lives being erased from existence, and then nothing's changed in season two. I mean, obviously, the whole situation caused the breach between dimensions, but mm-hmm. I mean, in terms normally in a different series that would cause changes in the timeline, but it didn't, and I love that they actually went ahead and addressed that. So that was neat.
Like, and anything, at least from the experience of what I've watched, anything Berlanti does, like, is explained great. Like,
yeah,
there's like, even if they don't touch on it right away in anything that he produces, so
yeah, because like even if they don't touch on it right away, they usually come back to it. So like I was very happy with that, and just to get back with the Reverse Flash stuff and seeing like Wells and him, it's like the two Reverse Flashes basically, even though Wells is a Reverse Flash. And I hope this puts to bed, I mean, obviously technically speaking, this Wells is doing some shady stuff. Not really by his choice, but I hope it puts to bed that whole being prejudiced against this Wells, because the Reverse Flash really never was Wells. Like, all the other Harrison Wells did stuff. I'm like, no, the other Harrison Wells got murdered. That's all he did. He got murdered on the side of the road, and he got taken by a naked man. Like, that's what happened. So yeah, that was just, it was great, and given how big his character is, I definitely doubt it's the last we've seen of him. I can't imagine he's one of those characters that DC is like, oh, you can't use him again because we're going to use him for the movie. Because he's such a major part of the mythology that the series is created specifically. And in addition to that main thing, and then the Patty stuff, you had two other things going on, which were both pretty solid stories, but I feel like the episode was so crowded with stuff. Like, you had Francine and her lesbian haircut dying.
Oh, I forgot about her. Like,
yeah,
that was a big thing for Iris and Wally, for that matter, like, for sure. Particularly in their character growth, because Iris is so different compared to what she was in the beginning of season one. to where she is now. So like it was a huge character thing for sure, but like with so much going on, it was definitely overshadowed.
Yeah, like it was good material for them, but I feel like they could have stood to push it a week, because you have this major plot with Reverse Flash, and then like the B plot of Patty, and then you had this major thing going on, and then you also had a C and a D plot, because you also had Caitlin trying to find Harrison's doppelganger, and you find out he's this guy called Hunter Zolomon, which that name sounded so familiar, and I looked it up, and it was from when I researched Reverse Flash stuff, and yeah. It was one of the Reverse Flashes.
Like that's
like Wally West's Reverse Flash.
Like that was intense. Like we're just sitting there like, oh, here's Jay gonna talk about his Jay shit.
And I thought he was going to find out that, like, the other Jay Garrick was dead, or that he was never born.
That's what I thought. I thought he was just going to be already dead.
Which, like in Doctor Who, when you find out in that Earth 2 that Rose was never born and they just named their dog Rose. Like, I thought that's what it was going to be.
Like, there were so many possibilities, and said, no, I found him, but I can't use it because I'm a mutated speedster brat.
But, classic cage jerk.
You couldn't find him because his name's Hunter Zolomon. I'm like, no, you didn't just do that.
Oh, hell no.
And then I tweeted, I peed a little.
Yeah, but he was based on the research and then the re-research I did when I looked it up to see why that name sounded so familiar. He's Wally West's Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
And he's like, his power is that one where, at least I don't know if they'll do that here. If they use him in this way, but it's like he's not really fast, but like he manipulates time so it seems he's fast or something like that. It's very confusing. Like there's so many Reverse Flash. Like Reverse Flash is one of the most complicated things I've ever researched, like nerd wise. Like I'm like, oh, I'm just gonna go look this up and find out what's going on, and I came back like way more confused.
Yeah,
especially
Zoom can alter time relative to himself as opposed to using the Speed Force like most of the DC Universe speedsters do.
Yeah, it's like...
I feel like this is different than the Zoom that we're watching, because I feel like the Zoom that we're watching uses the Speed Force, but that'd be entirely wrong. You don't really know.
We don't know if Hunter Zolomon is in any way tied to this, or if he's going to be third speedster.
Yeah, it could be complete nonsense. It could have been just a little Easter egg name drop until they're ready to do something with him. Like, they could do something with him in, like, Season 3 or Season 4 or something like that. Like they don't even have to do it now, but just planting that seed of yet like another like Reverse Flash character, and to do it right now because Hunter Zolomon uses the moniker of Zoom, and to do that while I have a character that's already using that name Zoom, it's like your brain automatically starts going, oh, what if he's Zoom? he can't be, from what my mind's saying. Like he can't actually be the Zoom that we're watching, at least I don't think. I don't know.
Well, because they keep referencing the fact that Zoom was created by the particle accelerator explosion on Earth 2.
Yeah.
So I'm not sure, but like it very well he could be this Zoom somehow. He could be used later, I don't know, but it's really cool. Like amidst this huge episode of dealing with the Reverse Flash and Patty's exit and Iris's mom's death, they like drop this huge bombshell, like just so like casually.
They're like, yeah, his name's Hunter Zolomon. He's a Garrick, but he got adopted into the Zolomon family, so that's why his name's different. And so, like, it's all weird. It really is, but I can't use his blood because I'm weird. you got just, it, Gay.
I can't use his blood, just okay.
I tried. I'm not that dumb.
I'm a scientist, for God's sake. The future is now thanks to me. And what's funny about, like, when you research it is it's all very confusing because, like, most of the Reverse Flashes are the Reverse Flash and Zoom at the same time. It's like their name's Professor Zoom and Reverse Flash.
Because Eobard was Professor Zoom. And then, like, Hunter Zolomon is just, like, just Zoom.
Yeah, but then, like, on the article I read, it says he's the second or third Reverse Flash. It's like, so they're all both, but like in this mythology, they're separate as far as we know.
Right.
So like, it's all timey-wimey and stuff, but it's super cool. Like
I love
it. Like all of the research is super confusing, But, like, between the research and, like, stuff going on, like, it all hits the sweet spot of shit I love.
Uh-huh.
So, like, I love and it so much.
What's so great about it is that, like, you hear the name Hunter Zalamon, you're like, okay, and you look it up, and it's like, oh, he was one of the reverse flashes. Oh, he was named Zoom. Then your brain starts ticking. But then you're like, this is doesn't really have anything to do with one another because this show is just taking so many things and spinning them and contorting them into something of its own. And it's great. So you can, like, do all this research and not really be spoiled about anything.
Yeah, but still, like, sort of have a little bit of extra knowledge.
Yeah. I love it. It's so good.
Because I think this Zoom is also... I have no idea about story-wise because I didn't research on it, but at least design-wise, he looks sort of like a Black Flash, I think it was. Like, he's creepy like that.
Yeah, I forgot what the name was, but it was like this Death Flash thing.
Yeah, I don't think... I'll have to re-research it again. I don't think anything from the story sounded familiar, but the design was like that. Because, like, Zoom is all, like, reverse flashy and red. Yellow, sorry. His lightning is red. I sort of got it right. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they do with that. I can't imagine... It could be just an Easter egg, but I can't imagine it will always just be an Easter egg because, you know, they have the actor and everything, and I don't know if it'll be tied to that. It's interesting that then the research I looked at that it is Wally West's Reverse Flash.
Yeah.
And we have Wally West being introduced, so it could be neat if they tie that down in a future season once Wally West becomes Kid Flash.
Maybe as some sort of antagonist in season 3 when...
Yeah.
I would imagine Wally's acting as Kid Flash or something.
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see where they go because I've seen a couple people complain about that they decided to do a second Big Bad Speedster after Reverse Flash, especially since it's Zoom and they're all so super tied together.
To be real here, like, from what I know, which isn't a whole lot, like, that was kind of always Flash's thing. Fighting other fast people.
Like, I wouldn't mind if for season 3 they tried something different and then came back to another speedster in 4. But, like, there was, like, this little mini documentary attached to that Flashpoint DVD. And in the villains they covered, they basically just covered Reverse Flash and Zoom stuff and then Captain Cold.
Uh-huh.
And they talked about Heatwave. And I think there was maybe one or two more, but they were very... much like Captain Cold and Heat Wavy type villains, so like, I really don't mind it because
you
I
got,
find
like,
those
the various Reverse Flashes and the Rogues, and that's like, it.
Like, because I think Captain Cold is like the most major other one that's iconic that I gathered, and he's obviously off doing other stuff.
He's off being a legend.
Yeah, basically, he's off, you know, at Fox negotiating the Prison Break reboot right now. Legends of Prison Break. But, like, I really don't mind that. Like, I'm not opposed to them doing something different to see how it goes. But, like I said, I love all that time travel-y stuff. So I'm all for the speedster stories. But, yeah, this week was really good. Just lots of content. And Cisco was really great in this episode with the screech when Wells dressed as Reverse Flash.
He triggers his vibes because of fear.
And when he finds out that those glasses helped him see in the future, he says, those glasses are getting named immediately. Like, Cisco is just the best human being that ever lived in the history of time.
True.
Like, oh man, this show, so good. Next week is Tar Pit Man, or whatever's happening.
Tar Pit. You were too slow. We'll have to see. Oh, so good.
Yeah. They also found out the turtle was murdered.
we were at the buffet earlier today, which was great, by the way.
Spoiler.
We were talking about TV and stuff, and my mom asked me if I watched Flash yesterday, and I just slammed my hands down on the table. I said, Flash was so fucking good. Everyone kind of looked at me funny. It was great. You had to be there.
It's such a good show.
Yeah.
I asked a girl in my class today if she'd seen Flash, because I was trying to see if I was the only one that saw that the dude look like Reverse Flash, and she's like, no, I don't watch it. I'm like, all right, well, I'm leaving now. Never come dropping this class just because you said that.
Anytime I talk to my friends that hasn't watched The Flash, I just kind of silently shake my head and sigh. Like,
what are you doing with your life?
Like, Arrow I can kind of understand, but Flash, come on, son.
It's got it had a Peace Bibs. It's got time travel. It has a Cisco. It has a Joe who has the best facial expressions of all time. I need to find the picture, but the expression he made when Cisco started going invisible was like amazing. He was like, "Oh shit, you see it this dog?" like Joe is just like the best thing ever.
Oh my god, I have to check if Comics Alliance used that picture.
Oh gosh. It's a pleasure to meet me. Or a pleasure working with me. Welcome to meeting me. But Arrow this week wasn't quite as good as The Flash, but it was a pretty solid week for Arrow, I thought. Mm-hmm. It was basically like a dual Felicity Diggle focus episode.
Yeah.
In which you had the stuff with Diggle's brother and whatnot, and Amanda Waller got murdered because the How to Get Away with Murder lady is... She got away with murder. She killed the other one. Because they had to get rid of her.
They fucking killed her because of the Suicide Squad movie. I'm like, come on, guys.
Casuals' minds are going to explode.
We can't have two Amanda Wallers at the same time. The universe can't handle it.
I'm honestly surprised that... Or surprised and like happy that they didn't just phase it out without doing anything. Like, because they very easily could have started season 4 and, like, never brought up Amanda Waller or Argus again and been fine. But apparently Argus is still, I think it's still going to be around, at least for now. Like, there's going to be a storyline about how Diggle and his wife are involved and what happens with it next. And there's going to be, like, a crossover with The Flash with Diggle. So that's going to be cool. And, like, I hope that... Even if they're getting rid of Amanda Waller because of this stuff.
Counting down the days until Katana bites the dust.
Yeah, poor Katana. But, like, even if they're getting rid of that type of thing, I kind of hope they keep Argus around because it's kind of been, like, a fixture in Arrow. So, like, it just seems awkward for that. And if they can keep something as big around as the Flash TV and Flash movie, they can, I mean, like, anybody's gonna care if they have two Amanda Wallers or two Argus going on. It just seems really dumb.
Anyone with a brain should be able to disconnect the two.
I rule that most likely.
Just because Marvel doesn't mean that, like, DC, like, has to do the same thing or has to kill off characters because they aren't doing something like that. Like, I don't know, just the concept of two different characters or two different interpretations of the same character going at the same time shouldn't be such a foreign concept.
Yeah, it really shouldn't.
Especially when we had Batman films and, like, the Batman animated cartoon, like, going on at the same time.
And then they recast Batman, like, three times in the same movie line. And
yeah.
It's really dumb, like, especially with stuff like this, like the Suicide Squad and Argus and Amanda Waller, especially Argus in general is sort of a fixture, but they don't appear every episode. It's usually just for a handful of arcs throughout a season, so it's not like it's a main character, and then they're still going to be having a coexisting Flash, and I'm going to assume at some point they might try to touch on the Green Arrow in the movies, and Martian Manhunter as well, so it's like, if they're going to let them do that, it's just kind of dumb. I think that whole thing is stupid, and the fact that people can't handle it, and the people think people can't handle it is all just dumb. But yeah, other than that stupidness, it was a pretty good episode for Diggle and his brother. His brother's not like a total dick, but like he was in the past, where he was like pretending he was on the straight and narrow, but he was secretly doing drug trades with these whatever in the hell people. It was kind of neat that they tied that flashback into Oliver's storyline.
Yeah, I wasn't really expecting that a whole lot, and then it happened, neither was and I was like, I'm kind of cool with this, that's fine.
Yeah, that was pretty neat. Like, obviously Diggle's not going to meet Oliver in the past, because that would retcon, like, everything. But still, that was just kind of a neat little connection to what's going on with Oliver. Even if, like, right now it's not that interesting what's going on with Oliver. I like those type of connections. And Felicity spent, like, most of the episode talking to herself. And she got her code name, which is...
Overwatch.
Yeah, Overwatch. I almost wanted to call her Watch Over, and that did not sound good. Overwatch, which I kind of dig it. Like, at first I was like...
I dig it. It's a little strange, but I can dig it. I love the Oracle throwback. Like,
I wanted to go with Oracle, but it was taken already.
Yeah. Oracle was taken.
The fucking DC won't let us do what the fuck we want.
But yeah, apparently it was a fan suggestion too. So, but it very much so works for Felicity because that's pretty much what she is. And also, I don't know if they ever acknowledged it in another episode, and I didn't pay attention. But I read about Diggle's code name being Spartan, and this was like the first episode I heard them call him that, and you saw it on the computer screen. And I had read about it like a couple months ago that his code name was Spartan, but this is the first time I've seen it. Have you seen it before?
Yeah, several times.
Oh, okay. I wasn't paying attention to it, but like
it wasn't heavy. I feel like it was heavy in this episode.
Yeah.
It was mentioned several times.
Yeah, because I really didn't catch it. Like back when one of the little teaser trailers came out before the season like came back. Someone was like, oh yeah, Diggle's name is Spartan. I'm like, oh, that's neat. But like, I never caught it because like with Felicity's, they sort of made a big deal about it, which I think they should have with Diggle because both of them were sort of civilian helpers before. So yeah, I guess when I rewatch those episodes, I'll catch it. But this was the first episode I really noticed it. It's a pretty cool nickname for Diggle too, I think.
Yeah, I dig it. Master Chief.
Magneto. Apparently the helmet's going to get some sort of update / upgrade when he crosses over with Flash when, you know how Cisco do.
Doing some King...
Cisco is like the
King
unofficial...
King Shark is probably just going to eat his helmet and he needs a new one.
Cisco is the unofficial seamstress of the DC
TV
universe.
Like, he's a magician.
I love how, even like with Canary, he's like, where'd you get that? Got a friend named Cisco. I was like, bitch, sew this shit.
Like, he can sew all these outfits and make all these inventions out of who knows where he gets this material from. I understand they work in a laboratory, but come on, where did you get this shit?
He just makes everything. I kind of love it. Like, oh, Cisco made that outfit. Cisco made this base. Cisco made this toast. Like, Cisco just Cisco be making everything.
That's my Crisco.
Classic Crisco. Oh, yeah, so that's neat. That'll be cool to see. It's always funny when Diggle interacts with just anybody, but like the whole the Flash universe is just always funny to see him interact with.
He's like so out of place because he has no superpowers.
His superpower is being Diggle. That's the best superpower of all time. I also love, well, to sort of talk about, I guess, the scene. I like that Laurel was training with Oliver and Oliver acknowledged her existence. That was always fun. Because she always feels such a background character.
Remember that we used to date?
Like, what? It's kind of like when you remember that April or that Andy and Anne used to date.
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's like. But, like, she, ever since she became Black Canary, she seemed like such a background character. I hope they do more with her. And I like, with her relationship with Oliver, too, like, I'm not like, oh, let's break up Felicity and get them back together, but, like, I like moments when they actually acknowledge that they have some sort of connection and that they're training together, and, but the main thing I was going to mention about that scene was that I like how he just casually mentions, oh, yeah, Oliver went back in time, and Laurel's like, what? He's like, yeah, it's a thing, just stop, like, I'm trying to make a point here, and, like, he's sitting there talking on, and I feel like Laurel's just sitting there like, did he just say time travel? Like, I think the whole time she was just thinking about the time travel thing. So that was another good scene in the episode. Speaking of time travel, though, I guess a good segue, unless there's anything else to say. Legends of Tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't got a whole lot more else to say about Arrow. In fact, I don't got anything else to say about Arrow.
Legends of Tomorrow, 1 week behind perpetually. Because the second episode airs tomorrow, or today, actually, technically. A couple of days after this recording, but we're talking about the first episode. Which I thought was a lot of fun.
It was a lot of fun. It was. It gives me a really big, like, Guardians of the Galaxy feel. Like, just a group of people who give no fucks.
It's like, Guardians of the Galaxy, and Rory's like, fuck, I'm going to be the Doctor better than the Doctor. And I'm going to get, like, 8 companions, and fuck you. And I'm going to go to New York, and you know what? Fuck that. You can come back for people. You can come back for them. We had to live in a time without phones. Or cell phones. I don't know about their phones.
Like, this ensemble cast is just so great.
Like, it works so well. Like, that's the thing that's really good about
both Arrow and Flash, they have really good ensembles they make use of. And this is such like a, when you first read about it, it's such a random like hodgepodge of people, but like the chemistry between them really works. And there's so many different personalities, and there's a potential for a bunch of different like pairings and mashups.
I love Sarah's chemistry with Captain Cold and Heatwave.
Yeah, like it worked so well. And then just like, getting in a bar fight and then like the sort of I love that he's basically the parody version we did of Link. Like I mentioned that before, but we did this really funny like Link character before like Heatwave was a thing in the Flash, and I love that he is that. And I love when Rory is explaining the whole plot of like Vandal Savage, and he says, "Who the fuck's this Randall guy?" Like, it was so good. He didn't say fuck, but he said, "Who the hell's this Randall guy?" Like, that was just great. Like, I get a feeling he's going to be some pretty funny comic relief, which is really funny because I would never think Link was as comic relief. But it's just so funny that he's that character.
I love it so much.
Yeah, and then you have like sort of the sort of nerd chemistry between Shaw and Stein. And
do you remember like, my paper? You were my teacher. I have no idea who you are.
You're that guy that tried to kill Sarah Walker, right? But it's just like you said, it was a very random set when you originally think about it, but the cast works together really well. Mm-hmm. And I love the concept of, like, even the early trailers, like the early teaser trailer with footage they didn't use, and like the other trailers make it seem like Rory Rip was telling the truth about like them being legends, but like the truth is that they're all very forgettable, and like they don't make an imprint on history. And I think that's a really cool idea that they don't make an impact on history, but they have the chance to now. Mm-hmm. And like these eight people that otherwise wouldn't have made an impact are like currently in the process of fighting one of the biggest fights in time. Yeah. Against like one of time's greatest villains, and that's really cool. It's a really cool concept. And
I feel bad for them because none of them ultimately matter.
Yeah.
I'm like, some of you should matter. Like the rogues should matter. I feel like Hawkgirl and Hawkman should matter, but
yeah.
Hey, what's a Justice League?
Like, I feel like those are the only ones that it kind of doesn't make sense because, like you just said, they're in the Justice League. But obviously, Captain Cold's a major villain for Flash. But in this universe, everyone else it kind of makes sense, like Sarah, mm-hmm. and like and fuck, what's Shaw's name? Ray would you know kind of fall by the wayside. Yeah, like those two and Captain Cold and Heatwave and even the new Firestorm could fall by the wayside, but it's just a really cool concept that they're going to end up like trying to make a name for themselves, and even if they don't, they're doing something important. Like even if history doesn't remember them, they've done something awesome.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really cool, and there was quite a bit of exposition in the episode. Like they basically retreaded Hawkman and Hawkgirl's story, and they sort of in dialogue retreaded some of the individual characters' stories. Like you could sort of tell trying to get new viewers in it, which doesn't bother me because it's obviously why they're trying to do it.
I wonder how many kids we'll find. Like how many kids
they had in the
Hawk Girl and Hawkman have? Like
Hawk Guy?
I was about to say Hawk Guy. Not
I can feel it. I can feel it. Hawk Guy. You just sound so much lamer when you have it like that.
I was trying really hard not to finish it. And I'm like, no, that's not it. That's not it. What is it? Is it a hawk dude?
A hawk gentleman? I don't know. Hawk male? Like, what? Help me.
Oh, God, I'm so tired. But where is it going with that? Yeah, like how many kids do they have? Like I want them to like keep finding various kids of theirs on these.
Like every episode's a different kid. It's like Lilo and Stitch with the experiments, but with Hawkman and Hawkgirl kids.
But I thought that was a really cool way to kind of get everything going. Like this was our son at one point in time,
And so he became so fascinated with our stories that he's like this expert.
Wasn't he the same dude from the video from the Flareo crossover?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah, that's what I thought. And I did find it kind of funny though that Hawk got shit. It's catchy.
It is, because you're like, you're a hot girl, and you just want to keep the alliteration going, so you're like, hot guy.
So that, Hawk, name. Now Hawk Man sounds awkward.
It sounds horribly generic. Girl is too, but Hawk Guy just sounds so much better.
But the Hawk Guy, that he, like, supposedly remembers all the lives, but he doesn't remember the life when they had that kid.
He's like, look, Kendra. Remember.
I remember all the lives. I'm your son. Oh, fuck. I don't remember that one. Sorry, guys.
Wait, you had a kid?
I mean, there's a lot of lives to remember, I guess.
Look how weird I looked. That wasn't even me.
Are you sure that was me?
I had this weird mustache and a bowler hat. It was an odd time for me.
That clearly wasn't me, so my story about remembering everything holds up. Let's see. That was kind of a funny thing. What else? Like, I like that Rip is basically doing this without the Time Lord's Council approval. Like,
he went against Gallifrey.
Like, I watched all the trailers and stuff, but I read some interviews every now and then, but I didn't, I guess, necessarily do a ton of information research. So it was kind of a nice surprise, stuff like that, like that he's not actually being sanctioned by this council and that they're not actually legends in the future there.
They sent Kronos after him.
Yeah, which is a really cool villain. He's like, boom.
I like all those Star Wars jokes.
Like, what did Captain Cold say about Boba Fett? He's like, I didn't expect you guys to get attacked. Leave
he's
you
like,
alone.
He's like, we leave for one little drink and you come back and you're getting attacked by Boba Fett.
Yeah, that was great. Oh, man. But yeah, that first episode was just, exposition aside, it was just a ton of fun. And I think this series is going to be really cool because it has time travel, which is like one of my number one favorite things. And like the cast is so great and they already have like the humor and stuff. And there's just a lot to go on. And like they've said multiple times, like most of these characters could have done awesome as their own show. But the fact that they're all together gives time to spend with all these characters and not have to have like 8 different spinoffs. Broom. Alright, is there anything else from this week? Because today's still Legends of Tomorrow hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
I think that's it.
iZombie is coming back next week.
Oh yeah, it's the porn episode.
Yes. That should be fun.
I don't think there's anything else. I was just going to bring up real quick about the news of Stephen Moffat stepping down from Doctor Who.
Oh, yeah.
He's going to do season 10, or series 10, and then even though we could call them seasons, but they call them series, so it feels more right. But and so for series 11, we're getting a new showrunner. And, like, apparently, which really sucks, this year for 2016, we're just getting a Christmas special.
That sucks so hard.
I know. And then season 10 or series 10 is 2017 as Moffat's last year. And, oh, my God. Like, seriously, PR fandom, don't complain about your summers off like every other show gets. Like, it's... Obviously, we're finding out about it now-ish, but it's a literal year from the last episode of Doctor Who. And, like, there's a bunch of...
It could be good, because sometimes breaks are helpful, but, like, the thing is that, like, we have to wait so long for anything else, because it's literally an entire year between Doctor Who episodes and... Like, then we're going to come back with the Christmas special, maybe get the new companion, maybe not, I don't know. And then, like, Capaldi's probably done after Series 10, and I feel like we've gotten no time with him.
Yeah, like, there's a bunch of rumors swirling. Like, I heard a rumor that he was just going to do the Christmas special and then leave, which doesn't seem right. Like, it just seems like an awkward thing to do.
I read this one thing that he was going to leave after the Christmas special so that when the new guy took over, he would have a new doctor. Just like when Matt Smith took over, when Moffat took over. But then I read that Moffat's supposed to do Series 10.
Yeah, he is. Because he was even saying in his when they announced it that he said it's weird talking about quitting when he's writing the Series 10 scripts.
So like I'm so saying, like the article that I read that said that he was possibly going to leave after the Christmas special was the same article. They said that like Moffat was done after the Christmas special. I was like, no, that's not right.
Yeah, because he's doing series 10 for sure, because they're working on it. So like, technically speaking, Capaldi is still in his era, so like he'll be the Doctor for this year where one thing happens, and the next year where next series happens, right. And then he might leave, which honestly I'll be sad to see him go, because I really like his Doctor a lot.
Yeah,
and I would like to see him continue, but I'm okay with him leaving after the next series instead of at the Christmas special.
Yeah,
like it seems like such a really dumb reason when you say it out loud. But the fact that he just got his sonic screwdriver and then would leave after his very next episode essentially seems weird, because it was this whole, I got the sonic screwdriver, it's time to, you know, be the Doctor again and be a new man after Clara's death, and then, oh, time to regenerate. So like, and it just seems right that if he does leave, to have Moffat in his last series be the same and give him one last series, and then... Like, I would like to see him continue for longer, but if he has to leave, I'd rather have him leave after next series than at the Christmas special.
Right, yeah, yeah.
And I'm not opposed to a fresh Doctor after that.
I'm not either. I'm a little disappointed because I do like Capaldi a lot. And despite the fact that we're going to have three full series with him, just like normal, it feels like such less. I don't know why. Maybe because I'm watching it live.
That could be.
And I only watched like a bit of Smith's run live, and that was it.
Yeah, because I watched his live for 2 years, so I don't know. I could, maybe it'll feel different by the time it ends, because if he's there for series 10, it's technically 2 years until he leaves again. Yeah, so.
And that is like 11 more episodes.
It's going to kind of be like, because obviously I didn't watch Tennant's live, but Tennant like had the three series and then fucking moped around for like three specials and then left. So he was the Doctor for a little while longer after he was supposed to have left. So, yeah, it'll feel different. Like, I'm not sure. Like, all the stuff about Capaldi is super rumory at this point. Like, the Moffat stuff, with the exception of misinformation, I think is basically confirmed he's doing the next series, 10, and then 11 is when the new guy starts. So, but the Capaldi stuff's all very rumory, but I think we're going to at least get one more series, because it would seem very awkward for him to do back-to-back Christmas specials and then leave.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just wanted to bring that up, because it's all stuff, but damn, that's a, like a long wait. Like, it's especially because a long wait, because it's not necessarily that I hate the having only 13 episodes, but especially when you wait like over a year or over, and then it's 13 episodes, and then done. When like my mindset's still on like 22 episode seasons, so
yeah.
But we shall see. But I'll, in terms of setting aside really quickly Doctor stuff, I will miss Moffat. I did like him as a showrunner. There's like a ton of hate for him, where it's like this cool to hate Bruce Kalish hate stuff, where like I never, there's some people that give reasons, but I always see like these dumb fanboy reasons of like, he sucks because he's bad. Like, why? Because he's bad?
Because he's bad.
Like, because Tennant isn't there? Like, I don't understand. Like, it's always this really, like, blind rage. And I've mentioned before, but his series aren't perfect and his stories aren't perfect, but I feel the intent of tying things together better than I did with a lot of Davey stuff. Like, the finales were always so thrown together, and there's certainly things like that with Moffat's, but there's, I think, at least some cool, sometimes succeeds and sometimes failures, but attempts to tie things together, and I did enjoy his run, so I'll be sad to see him go after 10. But yeah. Doctor Who! Alright, I think that's it for Ramble Time.
Yay.
Final
Things, MP3.
Final Things!
I have a thingy, and it's not final!
N3P.
Really?
Really?
You throw Houdini out there, and then you have to do the N3P?
I had to do it in the same episode. But since we I'm such a good talker. That's why I do this. I was just going to say, since we sort of do this every week, I think what we'll do is we're going to do TTMF every other week. Because we usually have like an off week where we need to skip it anyway. So keep sending in the questions, but we're going to keep it to every other week. I think that's a good policy.
Okay.
I think that'll work. Executive decision. For me. Change approved. Lawyer, jammed. Anything you want. Oh, God.
Run away.
Just in time. Away.
I don't know how many cheese sticks there are in there.
Enough. Yeah, I forgot to get up and turn the heat off.
Hi, I'm going in here. It's hard to breathe in here now. We need a bag like this for swimsuits and stuff later.
Okay. You can turn it back down to like 70 something.
Ooh, baby. Maybe it's because I had to walk from one casino to the other casino. Yeah, she said the fucking thing's still on 80 degrees.
I know, I never went and turned it off. I forgot.
Well, if it gets cold again, turn it back up.
Okay, we'll find a happy medium.
You need anything with them? Because she says, you want pasta sauce or something?
Can I have like a water or something?
On water?
Dip the mozzarella sticks in water.
I'm not going to dip the mozzarella sticks in water.
I like them cheesy and I like them soggy.
It took me a while because they decided that they were going to have hot dogs. Then Claudia goes, well, I got bologna up there. I could just roll bologna and it would be a hot dog, wouldn't it, if I threw it in the microwave? I said, I don't care. Roll bologna. I don't care.
I have no idea what's happening.
Why do
now.
I pay that kind of money for a hot dog when I can roll bologna?
The real question is how much of this I'm editing out.
The real question is, why do you think hot dogs and bologna are the same? They're pretty different.
I think they're big winners. They put in $160, they got back $50. We won! Well, what is the part that you put in $160, you got back $50, and you're a big winner? My book, you're a loser.
It's going to be in the bloopers. It's going to be glorious. Hashtag bologna or hot dogs.
Hashtag best episode ever.
Ash Brown filter.
Are you coming back?
Literally.
Now? I don't know. I had to walk from there all the way back to Claudia, get her phone, walk all the way back there. I've got the mozzarella.
Claudia,
walk back to the hotel, go back down there and go, I don't know. I'm tired. I might have to sit and rest upstairs for a while.
Okay. I have to get back to my thing.
Okay.
We're talking about these biffs.
Missing some good money down there.
Doesn't sound like it.
It's sucking everybody's money. Ellen's lost over $100 already.
That's normal.
Is Ellen? Is there?
Oh, sure, good.
Are they good? Are they better than the... burrito things?
Yeah, you're good.
I thought that was a string of cheese coming out.
That's my headphones.
The big string. Yeah, right, the big string of cheese coming out here.
If it was a string of cheese, trust me, that microphone would be in my throat right now.
Oh, God. It's happening.
So what were we doing? We were talking about The Flash? Is that what we were doing?
I was talking about peace bibs, obviously.
Okay, well, keep talking. I'm going to keep eating.
Okay. Okay, I was just... What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I was just saying how, like... I think her exit was pretty decent. But I'm still not sure why they decided to have her character leave the series so early.
I'm sorry.
Oh, hell nah. Bologna and hot dogs are different. End of story. They taste different. Different consistency. One's warm, one's cold.
Do you need anything before I leave again?
No, you're fine.
Bologna wrapped in a hot dog.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, take two.
Okay. Do I have to restart the whole thing?
I don't know. Just keep going.